League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Altuve skies one to right. Back goes Hernandez. Still going back. He's watching this one go. Altuve adds three to the board to right field. 17-1 Astros with a three-pointer.
There's that guy again, Altuve. Wow. Astros, have yourself a night.
That was Altuve's second home run Friday night. He added a third home run on Sunday as the Astros swept the Los Angeles Dodgers, who they played in the 2017 World Series and beat in seven games. They outscored them over three games, 29-6. Woof! Pray Texter, and this could be right, could be wrong, it's the greatest run differential for a three-game series in Dodger Stadium since 1958. I'm not sure my parents were alive then. 29-6. Woo! 18-1 on Friday. The fireworks before the fireworks. If you're watching on the 4th of July, all those sad Dodgers fans that were staying to see fireworks at Dodger Stadium, which is a great place to just go to a baseball game if you've never been. And you have your head on a swivel at all times. Make sure in the ballpark, nice. Outside the ballpark can get a little sketchy. Like a lot of places, I'm hoping that NRG Stadium didn't get too sketchy yesterday with a USA-Mexico game. I actually went online this morning and was checking police blotters to see if there were any noteworthy arrests. Seems like people behaved themselves as best they could. I'm sure a few people got tossed for being drunk. But 18-1 on Friday, the Astros win. 6-4 they won on Saturday. That was the Shohei Ohtani start. He only started for two innings, 1-for-11 over the weekend. Zach Short had three times as many hits as him. Interesting. Mary, check that. Four times? Because he had one, then he had four. Three. Because he was 3-for-3 yesterday. He had one on Saturday. 6-4, they win Saturday. Sunday, yesterday, the Astros got another dub to complete the sweep. And oh my. One, they're looking like one of the best teams in baseball, if they're not the best already. 5-1 yesterday's final score. They are still back of the Detroit Tigers atop the American League, game and a half back of Detroit, who was 57-34. And they are technically a half game back of the L.A. Dodgers. But after this, I mean, the Dodgers are below them in the standings. I know the Dodgers have played one more game. They've got one more win. But for basing things off of what we just saw, the Astros should be ahead of the Dodgers in the standings. And they should be ahead of them in the power rankings at the very least. I think ESPN put them at the top of their power rankings. They're on an absolute tear. It's hard to explain how, with now Jeremy Peña injured, with Yordan Alvarez already injured. Now Jake Myers has a strained calf. Who knows what's going to happen there? Astros medical staff, hard to trust them. Tons of injuries in the pitching side of things as well. It is bizarre to see them keep on doing this. But I appreciate it. I mean, we all appreciate it. God wills it, right? God wills it. I don't know how they keep doing it, but something's happening. Something. I believe it is divine intervention, personally. So if you can explain it, Angels or something like that, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, to YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. I put this together before the show. I'm a big fan of John Williams. I'm a big fan of the Boston Pops, having grown up in the Massachusetts area. So on the 4th of July, I love hearing me a little 1812 overture, I believe originally created by Tchaikovsky. Did I get that right? Probably not. Whatever the case, he did write at least one banger. So here's all the Astros home runs with Tchaikovsky and cannons in the background.
First pitch, Isak Paredes gets into one, deep to left field, all the way back, and gone! Astros' first pitch of the series, it's 1-0.
This ball hit high in the air to left field, carrying well, looking up is the center fielder, Paredes, it's gone! First regular season home run at Dodger Stadium for Jose Altuve. 1-1 pitch is drilled, high and deep, forget about it! 6-1 Astros, Christian Walker, a home run in this building. Tini skies one deep to right field. Has he done it twice on this road trip? He has! Second grand slam on the trip for Caratini. The Astros score 4, and it's a 13-1 lead. Altuve skies one to right. Back goes Hernandez, still going back. He's watching this one go. Altuve adds 3 to the board to right field. 17-1 Astros with a 3-pointer.
There's that guy again, Altuve.
Diaz hits a high drive to center field. Paez turns and watches it fly over the wall for a home run.
And sends this one to right field. Pretty well hit. Back goes Ruiz near the wall, looking up. Makes a jumping attempt, and that ball's gone. Christian Walker, a home run in 7 of his last 8 games at Dodger Stadium. This ball drilled deep to left center field. Back-to-back jacks. It's 4-1. Yiner Diaz, number 12 on the season. Altuve drives one high and deep to left field. All the way back to the wall. That one's gone. Altuve hits his 3rd home run of the series. And the Astros lead this game 5-1. Altuve with RBI number 10 on the road trip.
I love that Altuve got the absolute last dagger in there before the Astros got out of town. Just that one extra one. Wasn't necessary, wasn't needed, still gladly accepted by Astros fans everywhere. And he signed autographs after the game, too. Incredible that they keep doing what they're doing. Poor Marine says on YouTube they have a good team, even missing those guys. Well, clearly, just based off of what we have seen, we've also got this from Todd the Show. Interesting point. The Tigers play both Tampa Bay, who has been tough to this point. I think the schedule's about to flip for them, and they're about to have a ton of games on the road relative to the first half. And then they play the Mariners before the break. Seattle has been playing well, and yet the Astros are still ahead of them by 7 games to the American League West. Like, that's the other wide part of this. You know, yes, Seattle had a rough couple of weeks, but ever since the Astros went on this tear, I mean, they've won 7 of 10. The Astros have just won 8 of 10. So it's a 7-game lead in the American League West as well. It was awesome to see. Really cool to see the Astros keep this up. It really does feel like it's a matter of God willing it. AJ, give me that Templar. Give me that Templar guy one more time.
God wills it!
God wills it!
God wills it! God wills it!
We're going to keep reveling in the Astros' awesome series victory over the Dodgers for a couple more segments. On the other side, where does the Astros' fatherhood, their daddiness, their daddy nature, I don't really know how to describe it, over the Dodgers rank as far as teams that Houston sports teams own? How does that rank? We'll discuss on the other side. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town, 713-780-3776 to call to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, and on Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros swept the Dodgers over the weekend by a combined score of 29-6. They have a 7-game lead in the American League West, and they have a 3-game lead for the 2 seed in the American League over the now Toronto Blue Jays, who lead the American League East by 3 games now. Yankees are falling apart. Huh. Haven't seen that before, except for the year before last year. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I want to focus on the Astros and their ownage of the Dodgers. I've been watching a television show with the girlfriend called The Righteous Gemstones. For those who haven't seen it, it is a action comedy drama kind of deal that follows a family of televangelists, essentially. Anyway, there's a secondary character on the show who reminds me an awful lot of the Los Angeles Dodgers whenever LA is going up against the Astros. He certainly has money. He dresses very well. And, you know, a lot of people look at him as on a show that's pretty lacking in terms of moral compass. They look at this guy and say, well, listen, he's doing the right thing. Just like the Dodgers are doing the right thing and spending all the money they can to make their fans happy. I actually do respect that element of them. I know the Dodgers are dealing with some injuries, but the Astros are too. And this weekend, I know there were lots of people out there who thought the Dodgers were going to whoop that ass. I know there are some people here that felt that way. I wasn't 100% sure of how it was going down. I was hoping for 2 of 3. I would have been cool with them just winning Friday 18-1. I mean, that was enough for me. Ruining a bunch of Dodgers fans' 4th of July's, that would have been fine. But I'm going to bring it back to this reference. So this character in an episode that I just watched felt cheated, because apparently his wife had stepped out on him. Never went past second base. Heard words, not mine. But he felt cheated. So he got himself a pair of brass knuckles. And he went to the home of the person who was apparently having an affair with his lady. And he goes up and he finds him not passed out. He finds him buck naked on his bed. Let's just say he's working some things out. And he sneaks up with the brass knuckles, this person I'm going to compare to the LA Dodgers, and boom! Punches this man right in the face. This man, the alleged cheater, gets up after getting punched in the face, and proceeds to whoop that ass until the very end of the fight. His marbles are grabbed, and then this guy ends up winning. But I think the LA Dodgers are a lot like BJ from the Righteous Gemstones. And if you've seen BJ from the Righteous Gemstones, and if you've watched the character as a whole from the Righteous Gemstones, he definitely gives off Oral Hershiser,
don't want to open old wounds, but
it does seem like the Astros know what's coming. So, listen, if you've watched The Righteous Gemstones, you get it. If you ever do watch The Righteous Gemstones, which you should, you will get it. The Dodgers are BJ. They got cucked and then tried to do something about it and got their asses kicked by a person who was in a pretty precarious situation when the little brouhaha started. It's a great show. It's on Max. Pete Martinez comments, the sweep in L.A. was more enjoyable than the sweep of the Yankees in the 2022 ALCS. That's an interesting one. He also says Oral Hershiser can stick it. That is an interesting one. We had gotten past the point of being excited with the American League Championship Series victories at that moment in time. And it was a sweep of a team that you had beaten already, what, one, two, three times in the playoffs, if we're counting that wild card series? 2019? 2017? That's an interesting one. It's been a while since they've played the Dodgers in something that had stakes. There has yet to be a World Series since 2017. That is the team that complains the most. The Astros have shut the Yankees up, even if they had valid gripes, which I think everyone was doing a little bit of something back in 2017. The Astros were caught red-handed. But I do think other teams were doing other methods to relay signals from somewhere in the ballpark. It was a massive problem. That's why the PitchCom situation was invented. It wasn't the PitchCom device was invented. It wasn't just the Astros. In my honest opinion, I do think it's very interesting that everyone is conveniently quiet about the whole thing. By the way, the Colorado Rockies were using a Theragun on their bench, and guess how that worked for them? Not very well. They played in a hitter's park too. Huh. Interesting. But bringing it back to this, is this more satisfying than a playoff series victory? I can't go that far. I want to. It was very satisfying. I mean, they did things to the Dodgers that they have never had done to them. The first time they'd been swept at home in nearly 20 years, 2008. First time that they were, I think, given up 18 runs ever. I think that was the most lopsided loss that the Dodgers ever suffered at Dodger Stadium. LA has a winning record against every team in baseball since 2015, except the Astros. Houston is 14-9 against them. 4-3 against them in the playoffs. You want to count that World Series. I mean, they just owned that ass. Shohei Ohtani, 1-for-11 all weekend. Only threw two innings. Was actually pretty good in those two innings for what it's worth. But, I mean, they're going to pay Shohei Ohtani, what, $2 million a year for the rest of time? And meanwhile, the other team's got Ryan Gusto and is it Zach Short? I don't even remember. Yep, Zach Short out there kicking his ass. Altuve with three home runs. Lance McCullers, also from that 2017, getting the victory on Friday in the most embarrassing loss the Dodgers have suffered in a very long time. By the way, Altuve still signed autographs after it was all done. Also, the kid who caught Altuve's home run ball, it looked like he had another ball in his pocket. Did he actually catch it? He definitely didn't throw the home run ball back. That was just a ball that he had in his pocket. Maybe he had stored it in ahead of time in case the Astros hit a home run. Maybe it was a batting practice home run that he caught or something like that. Maybe it was the Altuve home run. I don't know. All I know is he had a ball in his pocket and he threw it back onto the field. Very classy behavior by Dodgers fans. They're known for that, especially in parking lots. But to bring it back, the Astros owned that ass. And I feel like of all the great teams that Houston sports teams seem to own and also occupy a lot of their thoughts, the Dodgers have got to be at the top. Because I don't think the Yankees want any of this anymore. I think the Yankees would rather duck their heads when they get into a back and forth with an Astros fan. It's 0-for-4 in the playoffs. The Dodgers, you could say, given their two World Series, that they're on the same level as the Astros over the past decade. But the amount of real estate that the Astros own in their head, and then with this, the cherry on top, and the fact that the Astros have a winning record against them since things changed in 2015. I mean, it all adds up. to, I think, the most delicious ownage that a Houston sports team has on any other successful sports team. You know, you don't really see it from the Rockets quite yet. We will see in time. The Texans definitely don't own any of the good teams in the league. The Ravens own them. The Chiefs own them. They did beat Buffalo, but I mean, honestly, they were lucky to win that game. It's really the Astros over Dodgers. I think this is the best father-son relationship that Houston sports have as a whole. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Desert Stroh says Yankees fans are more insufferable. And it was the CS, so that was the better sweep. Let's see what other people are saying here. 713-780-3776 to call to text. From the 832, love the fact that the Astros made the Dodgers drop their pants. Oh, man. And he quoted No Vaseline by Ice Cube there. Dodgers can't say the Astros are still cheating. And yet they did. And I'm kind of glad they did. I know people are mad at Oral Hershiser for that. And in the moment, I'll admit, like my first reaction was, F that guy. But my second reaction was, they're still thinking about this. They still are. Isn't that kind of awesome? You are so in their head. They can't get over it. I'm more annoyed by the awful announcing write-up after the fact that made it seem as if there was legit reason to wonder whether or not the Astros were stealing signs when Zach Short's playing effing shortstop for them. And when they're banged up without Jeremy Peña and without Yordan Alvarez, the first thought is, oh, Oral Hershiser said something. Some old fossil who's nearly 70 said some bullcrap. And, well, now we all have to think about this and reevaluate it. Like the Astros were the only team that was doing any of this stuff. By the way, like we may have had a Red Sox controversy literally last week as far as the Red Sox potentially doing something shady. Again, with, oh, Alex Cora is still there, who conveniently, I guess, was not a part of the Astros and also didn't do anything with the Astros now that he's in Boston. Got suspended a year and then just gets to take his job back. Ridiculous.
Well, the Red Sox do things the right way.
Oh, do they? Do they? It's so funny hearing like Bill Simmons, who's completely out of his element when it comes to Boston sports these days, but especially baseball. Like, you know, the Astros were so bad. You guys were doing the exact same thing, dude. And I said, you guys.
Paul, you're from Boston.
Yeah, I know. I love those sons of biscuits. What else do we have? 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. For the 346, I bet you watch Love Island also. Go change a spark plug. Does that mean kill myself? I don't know. Is that what that means? Go change a spark plug? I don't watch Love Island, by the way. No interest in it. None. What else do we have? 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Someone's quoting Baby Billy. Big problem that I have with the lady is now since we've been watching Righteous Gemstones, we constantly are speaking in Southern accents to each other, and they're not good. They're not good Southern accents, but we'll just around the house, we're just talking to each other like this. Thanks to Baby Billy. Baby Billy's Bible bonkers. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, who's having a case of the Mondays? Clearly the Dodgers are. Clearly Oral Hershiser is. You'll hear Oral Hershiser bitching and moaning about the Astros on the other side. But who else is having a case of the Mondays? Stick around.
Mondays suck.
Just another manic Monday.
And these guys have it worst.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Who has a case of the Mondays?
Let's start off with former Dodgers pitcher turned color commentator for the Dodgers, Oral Hershiser, who at the very least has been getting raked in his mentions by angry Houston Astros fans. If not, just the baseball community as a whole. I think I saw at the Pitching Ninja dropping a you-know-what on him. Here is the moment in Friday's game where Oral Hershiser thought that perhaps something was going on that led to the Astros knowing what Dodgers rookie pitcher Ben Kasparius was throwing.
Feels like you've stumbled on the right thing, because even veterans have slumps.
Hit hard to deep center field. Pajez on the run. He'll turn and watch this one. Wedge itself in the bottom of the wall. And Cam Smith flying into second, anchoring there with another extra base hit for the Astros. Double homer double to open third against Kasparius.
I don't want to open an old wound, but in some ways, they're swinging at these breaking balls like they know what it's coming. I mean, that is not a bad pitch. It's really a very good pitch. Low and away, probably would have ended up by the ankles if it would have made it past the bat. It's the other thing that you analyze. You analyze your grip, your delivery, your glove position on different pitches. Am I giving something away?
So eventually he goes on to suggest it might be tipping pitches, but when he says, I don't want to open an old wound, and you're on the local broadcast, you do want to open up an old wound. You want to incite the masses to believe that once again, the Astros be cheating. He knew what he was doing there, but I love it. I actually love that that moment happened. I think it's awesome to know that the Astros' 2017 World Series victory is still firmly implanted in the minds of Dodgers fans and Dodgers broadcasters. I more have an issue with awful announcing and the way that they wrapped up the article that they wrote saying about this clip, quote, the league didn't vacate the Astros title and the players didn't get punished. The wounds never really healed. But Dodgers fans haven't forgotten, and clearly neither has Oral. So there's no evidence the Astros were up to anything nefarious Friday night. But the moment Hershiser cracked that door open, even ever so slightly, it's impossible not to look through it. Yeah, because you're suggesting it. I actually don't think Hershiser was necessarily suggesting the Astros were cheating in that moment. He was definitely calling back to cheating back in the day. But awful announcing is acting like, even though there's no evidence, this opens the door to further speculation for a team that's now 20 games above 500, probably playing the best baseball that there is being played right now, given that they took 2 of 3 against one, the Cubs, and swept the Phillies, and swept the Dodgers. Awful announcing. Kick rocks on that one. I get it. You're stuck writing an article on 4th of July weekend. You gotta get clicks. He got those clicks. But I hated the framing of that. Who else has a case of the Mondays? How about the United States men's national soccer team? Oof. So they lost 2-1. They were up 1-0 in the 4th minute. They gave up a goal in the 27th and 77th. There was a handball that should have been called against Mexico in the penalty box in the 66th minute. So you could argue the USA got jobbed. You could also argue that the foul that led up to goal number 2 for Mexico was a flop and not a foul. Afterwards, I saw the head coach of the U.S. men's team, Mauricio Pochettino, said the team learned priceless lessons here. But there was a lot of bitching and moaning about the refs. I think one U.S. soccer player said that CONCACAF, which is the governing body of the Gold Cup, hates them. Listen, man, this isn't a good Mexico team. I don't know much about soccer. This is not a good Mexico team. This is supposed to be the best U.S. team, and I'm not accepting excuses in your backyard losing to Mexico. It was at NRG Stadium. You know, it was right here in town. I am curious as to what the fan experience was like. But from the highlights I watched of the game, it felt like the same old U.S. thing where it's just constant playing defensive. And it's like, don't you have the talent now to actually be on the attack at all times? One of the reasons I just hate watching them, it always feels like they're They're trying to sit on leads that don't exist. So the U.S. men's national team certainly has a case of the Mondays. Who else has a case of the Mondays in the world of sports? Ooh, Pirates starter Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens, 10 strikeouts across 5 shutout innings on yesterday, and the Pirates still lost 1-0. Woof. Sucks for Paul Skeens. He's just in a rough spot. He'll be on the Yankees in no time, though. Also, case of the Mondays, the Nationals fired president of baseball operations Mike Rizzo and manager Dave Martinez. These two were in charge of Washington when they beat the Astros in the 2019 World Series. So they're finally out. They are finally out. Who else is having a case of the Mondays? Angel Reese thinks that the WNBA's officiating has to be fixed, saying, quote, "I am tired of this bleep." Okay. This came after a loss in which the Sky had only 8 free throws opposed to 17 by the Minnesota Lynx. Okay. There's been a lot of complaining about WNBA refs. Here's the thing, WNBA players, as you have a little more scrutiny on your sport going forward, NBA refs suck too. What do you think's going to happen? You think they're going to be perfect? They're going to miss calls. WNBA, there are a lot of moments where it's clear that they're not, as a league, ready for prime time. And Caitlin Clark is just dragging them into that era. And they kind of have to suck it up. Who else has a case of the Mondays? Ooh, maybe the Houston Texans offensive line if they subscribe to Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus ranks the Houston Texans offensive line 32nd out of 32. Quote, "The presence of veterans Laremy Tunsil and Shaq Mason prevented an already shaky Texans offensive line from being even worse in 2024, and the team cut ties with both this offseason." Shaq Mason sucked last season. "Now, there is very little to suggest that the group isn't deserving of the 32 ranking ahead of the 2025 season." Shaq Mason had a bad year. They upgraded by getting rid of him. The Laremy Tunsil one is the one that I'm not 100% sure about, though, you know? Who else has a case of the Monday? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. From the 281, "Hey, man, this was the USA's B team in the Gold Cup. Most stars didn't play this tournament." Then what's the point of playing the tournament at all? Serious question. It's weird the amount of players that have opted out of playing for the country. How can you get better and actually be ready for the World Cup this time around if you're not playing together? Oh, the risking injury, all that stuff. I don't know, man. I have zero sympathy for this U.S. team. I just feel like they're chronic disappointers, and I'm sick of being disappointed by them. So there you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call to text. That's Case of the Mondays every single Monday at 2:30. Up next, a little fun in some garbage time. You could continue to revel in the Astros' victory, dominant victory over the Dodgers in the Chavez Ravine at Dodger Stadium over the weekend. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and on the brand new ESPN Houston app.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call and text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5. And on the brand new ESPN Houston app. Someone asked, what's the background music for Case of the Mondays? It used to be the music that they play while Cameron in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The music while he's in his bed sick. But we changed it to something that we heard on TikTok once. I actually have no idea what it's called. It's like aquatic ambience or something. So there you go. I thought it added a little more sadness and despair to all those who have a case of the Mondays. A shout out to USA Mexico. It seems that everyone behaved themselves. I advise people, maybe don't go if you've got a family to yesterday's Gold Cup finale. Also, And this is the upset of the century. And maybe they were just so beaten down by the Astros. Beat down. But from what I understand, very minimal issues at Astros-Dodgers over the weekend. So Dodgers fans behaved, even though they were getting their asses kicked. That's good to see. You like that they're at the very least turning a page in that department. But clearly they're not turning the page from a story where they are still the children of the Houston Astros. Not yet. Anyway, I did want to mention a couple of things. I watched back-to-back over the weekend Jurassic World and F1. First time I've done double feature and paid for it in my life. Whatever. James Cameron had plenty of money. I went to go see Horton Hears a Who and then Avatar back-to-back ones at Carousel Mall in Syracuse, New York. I believe the statute of limitations have expired over that. Also, I was not alone, but I will not name names. But I went and I actually paid for tickets to see Jurassic World. Jurassic World was solid. Honestly, I was not expecting anything going into the movie. The dinosaurs looked real. You were scared a couple of times. There were some graphic moments. It was pretty scary at times. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was a fun way to pass a couple of hours. I also saw F1. Not a lot of plot in F1. Kind of a lot of sports movie cliches. But watch that in theaters. The sound, the camera angles. It's the same guy who did Top Gun Maverick. It was really, really good. I highly recommend it. Anyway, what do we have in garbage time? Ooh, the Department of Justice has determined that Jeffrey Epstein, not only did he, you know, unalive himself, he also never had a client list. Damn! Well, gotta believe what the government tells you, am I right, fellas and ladies? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There's an interstellar object, meanwhile, flying through space at speeds never seen before. They're telling us it's a comet.
Paul, you sound like you've got a tinfoil hat on your head.
Whatever, man. Terry Francona. He went viral recently for the chair that he sits on in the Cincinnati Reds dugout. It's a chair from a boat. That's pretty sick. I would do a lazy boy, though. I don't even care if it would make me perhaps fall asleep and start snoring. I'd love that. There is an artificial intelligence robot soccer tournament. It took place in Beijing about a week ago. Fully autonomous. Gotta say, artificial intelligence, they are not taking sports away from us anytime soon. Neither are robots. These guys look like... I would have beaten all of them. I would have been Pele slash Maradona slash Messi. I would have been every single great soccer player ever combined against these robots. Watch it. It looks terrible. By the way, artificial intelligence regularly lies about sports as well. They couldn't host a talk show. They couldn't be as entertaining as me. Nope. No, they couldn't. He said, hopefully, wishfully. Mark Berman had a picture that went viral. Fox 26's Mark Berman. It was Cougars legend Ed Oliver riding on a horse. Listen, I think it's very cool that a defensive lineman and a Cougar legend is riding a horse. However, given that Ed Oliver is what? 6'1", 287 pounds. Isn't that mean to the horse? It's a little mean. I don't know. It's kind of abusive. Unless it's like a Clydesdale or something like that. I don't know. He's a big guy. My thoughts and prayers are with the horse. I hope he's getting a lot of carrots. A lot of carrots behind the scenes. Aaron Sorkin. He's back. Syracuse legend. And he is writing and directing Social Network Part 2. There's going to be a Part 2. I think part one was enjoyable. I don't really want to know about part two unless there's like a deep dive in the censorship side of things and if they really take a look at how weird Mark Zuckerberg has become now that he has joined the ranks of the billionaire tycoons. What else do we have? Ooh, this one's an interesting one. Bill Belichick's girlfriend and Bill Belichick's ex-girlfriend are going at it. Jordan Hudson, the significantly younger Yoko Ono compared lover of Bill Belichick, fired off choice words meant for Bill Belichick's ex-girlfriend after discovering a deeply personal email sent to him during their 16-year romance. Hudson, a 24-year-old former cheerleader and pageant queen, savagely mocked Linda Holiday as, quote, pathetic, end quote, and, quote, delusional, end quote, after sending a photo of the printed letter via Instagram to a woman she believed was Holiday's close friend. Screenshots of the nasty exchange show Hudson launched the vicious attack after being branded a gold digger by the Instagram user. Replying with a blistering and sarcastic retort, she wrote, "Hey, babes, since you are tight with Miss Holiday, could you please ask her what she would like me to do with this letter I found from 2015? Due to its pathetic and embarrassing content, I imagine she wants it back." Hudson said she found the letter in an old invoice file at Belichick's home in Massachusetts. It was written in 2015 and revealed raw emotions from Holiday, who accused Belichick of shutting her out to parts of his personal life and lavishing attention on his ex-wife. Damn, this girl's crazy. I mean, that is 100% the byproduct of someone who was looking for any hint of past women. And Bill, I'm just telling you, watch your back. Watch yourself and watch your back, man. I am concerned. She's a strong, powerful, independent woman. There's no denying that. But, I mean, this is pretty psycho. A friend of his ex messages you on Instagram and you take it that far? Like, just ignore these people. If one person is getting her to respond like this, like, is this just how she's constantly being? Like, constantly on the attack at anyone who's going to look at her with a side eye? Hey, you're dating a prominent member of the sports community who's beloved, or in the eyes of some, hated. Like, you're dating a very famous person who happens to be 50 years older than you. What do you think's going to happen? People are going to hate on this all the time. What do you think is going to come out of you responding to a troll like this? Not less trolls. More people are going to go after you if you do stuff like this. So I got to say, Jordan Hudson, it might be time to unplug from the internet for a little bit of time. Okay? Anyway, what else do we got in garbage time? Shout out to, it's been awful what's been going on in Kerrville and Camp Mystic. I think we got over 100 people, close to 100 people who passed away due to the absolutely ridiculous out of nowhere flooding. But a shout out to rescue swimmer Scott Ruskin and his Coast Guard air crew. They saved 165 lives during a rescue mission that they took on over the weekend. Our thoughts are with everyone who has been affected by that. And I know that's a lot of people. I know a couple of people who went to Camp Mystic. One of them, their niece was found, thankfully. So, but I know a lot of people were not that lucky. We're thinking about y'all. Anyway, on that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to AJ stepping in for Sean Mapes. Big thanks to our texters, callers, YouTubers, Twitchers, appers, and everyone else who tuned in. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and on Apple. I am merely Paul Gallant. The Killer Bees are up next. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace!
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.